And we're here, I believe you said we're in a prayer seminar, is that right? And we thank God for what God has done and what God will do, you know, here. But I want to talk about and try to do it in a balanced perspective about contending with the powers of darkness in prayer. Because if you're going to pray very much, and if you're going to go very far in God, what I have discovered, and again, don't know it all, but what I've discovered, you're going to contend with the powers of darkness sooner or later. Most of us, it's going to be sooner. You know, and if you're going to move into things, and if you're going to have a revival, you're going to have to contend with the powers of darkness. It's not God that doesn't want to have revival. It's the devil that doesn't want us to have revival. And of course, we know this subject, you know, by contending with the powers of darkness or dealing with the powers of darkness. And I'm talking about from a prayer perspective while you're praying, while you're seeking God. There have been people that have went, you know, in the ditch on one side and didn't get on the ditch on this side. But we're going to do our best to stay balanced. Isn't that right? The middle of the road. And in fact, it seems to be that an idea that seems to be out there to me, and again, I don't know it all. I don't examine everybody psychologically, but there's a lot of people that just don't believe that the devil exists. That seems to be the mindset, you know, of many in the Christian or Christendom, if I can use that word, you know, and that don't even realize that he exists, that there is a spiritual entity called the devil, called Satan. My daddy's nickname for him was Slewfoot. You know what I mean? That's what he called him. You know, Slewfoot, some of the old Pentecostals did Slewfoot. You know, they got some kind of title from everything, everywhere. But Satan, he's the deceiver. And we know that he's out there trying to deceive, trying to stop. And of course, did anybody in the Bible ever have to deal with the devil? Well, Jesus had to deal with the devil before he ever entered into his ministry. The first thing he had to do was he had to encounter the powers of darkness, and God sent him out there into the wilderness. You remember that. Then Paul in his writing said, he said, I would have come to you, he said, but Satan has hindered me. Didn't stop him, but he hindered him. So what is Satan there trying to do? He's trying to hinder the church from accomplishing the mission that God has called it to. He's trying to hinder the individual from accomplishing the mission and the assignment that God has called them to. But if you don't realize it, you know, a lot of times you'll start trying to deal with flesh and blood situations, and it can't be dealt with in the natural. It has to be dealt with in the spirit under the anointing. Now let's balance this out. That doesn't mean that you go around binding devils 24 hours a day, and it doesn't mean that you hold a conversation with the devil. Because if you don't watch it, everything becomes the devil. You know, the wind blows the curtain. I bind you, devil. The car door slams by itself. I bind you, devil. You stump your toe on something. I bind you, devil, you know. And then you become devil conscious, Brother Hagin said, and demon kooky. You know what I mean? So, and everything's the devil. And I believe what you taught me. You remember what you taught me, right? You taught me my biggest enemy is not the devil. You remember that? You taught me that. And you said, you told me, remember, you told me my biggest enemy is not the devil, it is me. It is me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. The devil is already defeated. Isn't that right? He's already defeated. Do we agree with that? Well, if he is defeated, what do we run from him for? He has been D-E-F-E-E-T-E-D. Defeated. You told me that. Every time you think of the devil, think of him as having no feet. And from a natural perspective. Because Jesus made a show of him openly, triumphing over him. And so Jesus has already defeated him. Legally, Satan is defeated. Experientially, you may not be enjoying Satan's defeat. Well, why would that be? But be a lack of knowledge. Because there's something that I've got to do based on spiritual laws that Jesus set in motion. What is a spiritual law? The spiritual law is that he has defeated the devil. He made a show of him openly. But still, I have to enforce the law that Jesus established, not me. I'm just a law enforcement official. If you've never been a law enforcement official, we deputize you here today. We got Pastor Terry. He knows all about it. I don't know if he can give you a badge or not, but I'm telling you, he was a law enforcement official for many years, you know. He knows how it works. And he understands, and he can tell you better than I can, just because there's laws on the books don't mean people's going to obey them. And so what Pastor Terry would do on the police force, you know, while he was working, is he would try to find these folks, and he would catch them, and he'd tap them on the shoulder. And he would say, "Hey, you can't do that. You can't do that." And they'd say, "Why?" He said, "Because there's a law on the books, and I am a law enforcement official." And then if they talked to him real smart, he had this little thing he carried on his side. What do you call that thing? Billy Club. Oh, my God. They probably don't let him use no more. And he'd take old Billy and introduce you to Billy. I remember the Billy Club days. I do. And people acted a whole lot different then, too, than they do today. They didn't smart mouth people and shoot police officers and do all that kind of stuff. They didn't do that. I'm not saying they didn't, but if they did, if they woke up, they woke up in the next county. Because they used to allow the law enforcement officials to enforce the law. So what God has given you is a billy club called the laws of God written in His Word in Jesus Christ and the Holy Ghost and the blood of Jesus, and you have authority over Satan because of what Jesus did. But legally, he is defeated. But experientially, you may not be experiencing it. And the reason that we do not experience it, if we're not experiencing it, is because we don't enforce the defeat of Satan. Just because he's defeated doesn't mean he's going to obey the law. Just because the Word of God already says that he's defeated doesn't mean he's going to obey it. If you believe that folks are going to obey the law, does people obey the law because it's written on the books? How many laws do you think you broke coming to the service this morning? She said 5. See, at least he's honest. She said she drives fast, you know. At least he's honest. But I'll guarantee you, if she'd have seen a law enforcement official behind her or beside her anywhere, you know what she'd have done? Hit the brakes. Boop. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Because then people start obeying the law. See, the devil don't obey the sign on the side of the road that says you're defeated. But when you enforce that law and pull up in your police car and said, "Hey," and turn on your siren, I'll guarantee you he's going to slow down and he's going to get out of your way. So Satan is already defeated, but we are law enforcement officials. I don't have to defeat Satan. Satan's already defeated. And we must get that concept and mindset, because if you don't watch it, you can walk around and actually have a hidden fear of Satan. People sometimes wonder, what would I do if I meet the devil? What will I do if I meet the devil? And I'm not belittling nobody. I've had them thoughts too. What would I do if I met the devil? I would think, what would I do? I know what I'd do. I'd run. My God. I'll get out of here. And I thought about running several times. I wouldn't know where to get away from him. He's all over the place, you know. But I've been there until the Lord began to teach me that you got authority over the devil. And again, that doesn't mean I know it all. But I have had a lot of issues and dealing with demonic forces and spirits. And in any, it seems to me, and I was talking about this, about personal breakthrough, I think in the first night, first service. Anytime that you're having a personal breakthrough, it seems like the devil tries to come around and put a ceiling or limitation on you so that you can't break through to the next level. And of course, again, we need to balance that out. It's not always the devil's fault. Sometimes it may be adjustments that I need to make or you need to make. And then we can deal with him. Isn't that right? Thank you for getting excited about it. So Paul said, "I would have come to you, but Satan hindered me." Jesus was led up of the Spirit into the wilderness. Isn't that right? To confront the powers of darkness. So when we're talking about prayer, what I do is, you notice when I was praying for North Korea. Well, the Lord, in a sense of speaking, doesn't have to tell me there's a demon over North Korea. And he doesn't have to tell me there's a demon or a devil operating in China. Why? You can see the fruit of it. It's certainly not the Holy Ghost that didn't want the gospel preached. Isn't that right? So I'm not becoming demon conscious or devil kooky, but you can just see there's manifestations of the powers of darkness that's taking place in North Korea and through China because they don't want the gospel preached. So I already know You know, I don't even have to have a revelation that I need to take authority over those spirits, because it's not God that's blinding those people's minds. It's not God making those dictators and the leaders of those countries oppress those people and hold them in bondage. It's the devil. Isn't that right? So I don't have to have a special revelation. But there are times that you just don't know what it is. You don't know what's wrong. You don't know why this is not working, and God will reveal it to you. You remember a gentleman that Dad Hagin used to talk about? Now, I didn't know him personally, but Dad and Mom Goodwin. You know, Dad Hagin talked about an experience he had, and of course, I've read some materials and listened to Dad Goodwin. You know, and Dad Goodwin, you know, he kind of believed things a little different. He didn't believe that every Christian's going into rapture. Brother Tony almost passed out, but he didn't. He didn't, you know, and I think he and Brother Hagin kind of seen things a little different. And there's other people, you know, that believe the same thing. And I'm not, but anyway, he used to take his, you know, text, because I heard it out of about the 10 virgins, 5 wise, 5 foolish, and the bridegroom cometh, and they were, the 5 foolish were not ready to meet him. Remember, and that's what he would preach, that not every Christian is going to the rapture. So you reckon you're going to make it? So. Said, did he know what he's talking about? Well, I just say this, he knows a whole lot more than I do. So I just tell you this, I'm going to stay ready. I'm not going to take no chance. I just want to keep my lamp full. Isn't that right? But talking about Dad Goodwin, he was, Brother Hagin, you know, he pastored, Dad Hagin was in the Assemblies of God and for many years. And of course, Dad Goodwin was in the Assemblies of God too. Again, I didn't know Dad and Mom Goodwin. I mean, I've seen videos, but I didn't know them personally. And listened to some recordings, listened to them teach and operate in the gifts of the Spirit. And they stood in the office, ministerial offices, of course, but they also had the gifts of tongues and interpretation as a ministry that operated through them. And Brother Hagin said it was amazing how the gifts operated through them as a couple and in their church. But he had taught his people, you know, about them and things like that. And it takes time to develop people, you know, and get everybody flowing in the right direction. But he had taken a new church, Dad Goodwin did, and he had invited Brother Hagin to come preach. Brother Hagin went to preach because, you know, they're friends and all. They didn't see eye to eye on every single issue, but they were good buddies. You know, that don't mean you got to agree with everything, with everybody, because all of us had our own different ideas about things or nothing like that. And some of it, I think we're going to find out when we get there. but anyway, he invited him to come preach at this church. He said it was the most wonderful people you'd ever want to meet, nicest people. He said, but it was so tough. Dad Hagin, it was so tough to preach in that church. I'm talking about now, this is what I'm trying to illustrate, is that sometimes you don't know what it is. So you just don't go binding devils. You pray, and if God reveals to it, you know what to do, then you take authority over these things in prayer in the Spirit. Because God reveals to you. And He's done things like this with me before. Showed me things that I didn't even know was there. I didn't even know a booger man was there, or a devil or a haint was doing something. They asked me in New York what a haint was. Of course, I was preaching up there. They said, what is a haint? They started looking up my dictionary, you know. But they figured it out. It's the booger man. It's the devil, you know. You know. But us country folks, you know what a haint is. You know, Granny and Papa and all them talked about haints, you know. That house is hainted. It's got a haint in it, you know what I mean? And they got a haunted word, too, you know what I mean? So he came to preach for him. Dad Goodwin didn't know what was wrong, but he was having trouble, too. He said he would pray. He would get anointed. I mean, he'd have a message. He knew it was from God. I mean, he just got a revelation. And he would go stand in his pulpit. It's like somebody just shut him down and closed his mouth. He couldn't preach. I mean, nothing would go on. I mean, he just stringing a few sentences together, you know, was just a miracle. And so he had had Brother Hagin in, you know, to try to help him, you know, and Brother Hagin had the same problem. He didn't know what it was, but he said he was glad when the services were over, when the meetings were over. That's when you don't want to be in extended meetings. You know what I mean? But you don't want to be there. And he didn't know what it was. And so Dad Hagin left, you know, and he didn't tell anything to him about how hard it was to preach or nothing. But that Goodwin knew it was hard to preach because he's the pastor. He knew it was hard. I mean, it was no freedom, no liberty. And if you're a minister of the gospel, you know what I'm talking about, you know. He was hindered. So he decided he's going to start praying and fasting and seeking the Lord. So he started walking around in his church. And I'm just kind of paraphrasing the story. I'm not telling it verbatim or word for word. But he started walking around in his church and just praying over a period of time, several days, you know, maybe almost a week or something like that, but a long time, you know, continued prayer. And that don't mean he stayed in the church 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, but he prayed and fasted some. And sometimes, you know, he'd get tired and he'd sit down, and then sometimes he would walk, and then sometimes he would stand still, and then, he'd read the Word as he was going along too. And then one day he'd just wore himself out, and he just laid down flat of his back on the platform, just laid down up there. And he was just praying, you know, in the spirit, and just praying, you know, minding his own business. And all of a sudden, the ceiling disappeared in the church, and he looked up into there, what I mean, the covering on the rafters, it's up there in the ceiling. And he seen into the rafters, and sitting up in the rafters of the church was this big baboon-looking creature. Because it wasn't a baboon, he just trying to describe. It was a spiritual entity, a demon spirit that had camped out in that church. And he knew immediately what it was. It was that devil. And he commanded that devil to come down from there, and he run him out of that church, and it run out of there. Some other things happened too, but that's as far as I want to go with the story. But anyway, he run him out of there. But I said that to say this. He was praying, seeking God, not seeking a devil. He wasn't hunting a booger, and he wasn't hunting a haint. You know what I mean? He would have never known that there was a booger in the church rafters sitting up there unless he had got far enough into the spirit for God to open his eyes and then showed him. And then once that thing left, it was the easiest thing to preach in that church. So he invited Brother Hagin back. And when Brother Hagin got through preaching in his sermon, he asked him, he said, Doc, he said, is there anything different now? Talking to Dad Hagin. He said, man, he said, it's the difference between night and day around here. He said, what in the world have you done? And he told him about laying flat of his back there praying, and the ceiling, you know, the sheetrock or whatever was in the ceiling disappeared, and there sitting in the rafters was a devil. I wonder how many devils are sitting in your rafters. And people will make a doctrine out of it, you know. Now every church has got a demon in the rafters. So we need a new book. Instead of pigs in the parlor, we need a demons in the rafters. Anybody remember pigs in the parlor? I mean, did you ever get that, Brother Greg? Brother Greg's been protected, you know. But pigs in the parlor was a book written to Christians, and every Christian had demons, and you had to get up and cast demons out of yourself every morning. That's where the bags come from. They used to pass out bags, and you had to puke in the bag. Remember all? Remember that thing, that phase it went through? And I'm not belittling anybody. I got the book, The Pigs in the Parlor, because I wanted to find out how many pigs I had, my Lord. And what lost me is that some of them pigs that they was talking about, them demons, I couldn't even pronounce a word, so I knew I didn't have that one. You know, I couldn't even pronounce it. I mean, but they had a demon for everything. I mean, it was to the extreme. Remember that? It was called Pigs in the Parlor. Now we got a new one called Demons in the Rafters. You know what I mean? So what happens is, and that I believe that's why Dr. Hagin and other ministers of the gospel have kind of backed off some of these things, because people do have a tendency to go overboard with this. But at the same time, you can go overboard so far and get in the ditch on the side and act like the devil doesn't even exist. But he does exist. You know, or you can go to the extreme and say the devil's doing everything. He's doing this and doing that. And of course, the middle of the road is the devil does exist, but he's not doing everything. But when we recognize what he's doing, we stop him in the name of Jesus. Amen. So in order to deal with the powers of darkness, in order to deal with the devil, there are some steps I believe that we can take and prepare ourselves for. And you would say, well, where's that in the Bible? Well, that's what I would ask. You know, where's that in the Bible? If this is truly something we can do and prepare ourselves, and again, we're talking about prayer. This is a prayer seminar, but turn to Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17, we're talking about dealing with the powers of darkness in prayer. And again, this illustration this gave you is that Goodwin was praying when he saw that demon. He was talking to God. He wasn't talking to the devil. You know, he wasn't looking for the devil. But when you confront these things in prayer, then you need to deal with them. I remember I was in a meeting, a large meeting, and a minister was there, and he had preached a fiery sermon, and a stirring kind of sermon. Then he gave an altar call for people to come, and they came. I mean, they lined up the church. I guarantee you, across there, they probably were 250, 300, maybe 400 people. And the ushers are trying to get them in line. And I noticed the minister, I was just watching him as he went down, praying for different people, as we all do, just praying and, holding our place in the Spirit, scotching for him in the Spirit, praying and believing God with him. And then I remember he walked up to this individual, and immediately the individual confronted him, and he backed up. I knew exactly what had happened. There's a demon-possessed man. I shouldn't laugh. But you know exactly what he done. He backed up and he walked around. He went on, buddy. He didn't pray for that guy. But, I've been there. But the Lord made me pray for him. Come out of him in the name of Jesus Christ. That's the way I pray. Come out of him. If you act like you're afraid of them, they'll intimidate you. So I know this, and I say this kindly, that minister is intimidated by Satan, and Satan will follow him around and hinder his ministry until he shows the devil he's not afraid of him. You know what I mean? And then you have to use wisdom how you deal with evil spirits and things like that too. I'm not saying that, but I could just tell right away that he was scared of that thing. Undoubtedly, he hadn't dealt with it a lot, and he didn't understand that all you got to do is speak, and even though that thing acted like a roaring lion, you could turn it into a doggone kitty cat in just a few minutes. All it could do is meow. It might be roaring when it comes at you, but it'll be meowing like a kitty cat when you get through. And I'm not against kitty cats, by the way. So you got to be prepared, and you got to deal with some issues in order to deal with the powers of darkness. And again, we're not hunting the devil in prayer, but at the same time, we need to understand, especially in this generation. In fact, Dad Hagin said this, and how there'd be revival. This is the words he used. He said, there's going to be a revival of casting out devils. You know what I mean by revival? It's going to come back, because there's a lot of people that's got demons today. People make people do things, and people yield to things. You yield to the devil long enough, you know what I mean? You got to submit to him. He can't take you over against your will. But you've got to submit to him. But there's a lot of people yielding to the devil. And in order to get help for them, you're going to have to cast the devil out of them if they want it out, But he said that there would be a revival about it, not me. I'm just repeating what he said. But in Matthew chapter 17, And Jesus had just come down from the Mount of Transfiguration, and he had been with Peter, James, and John, and that's why this bright cloud, the glory of God, overshadowed him, and it said, "This is my beloved Son, whom you well pleased. Hear you him," and that's in verse 5 of 17. So Jesus has just had a glorious experience. Peter, James, and John had just witnessed this glorious experience. And so they came down to the crowd that they had left behind, but they went up on the mountain. Verse 14, we'll pick up there. It says, "And when they were come to the multitude," talking about Jesus, Peter, James, and John, and the disciples, it says, "there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is lunatic and sore vexed, for oft times he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. He says, and I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him." Two words, say could not. In other words, they were ineffective at helping somebody that had demonic activity in their life. Isn't that right? The Lord does not want us to be ineffective. He wants us to be able to help people. And listen, not everything is a devil. We have to know that too. Not everything's a demon. Because if you don't watch it, the devil will whoop you in that area. He'll get to thinking, yeah, the devil's got you, the devil's got you. And if you get in agreement with him, yeah, he'll have you. But I won't get in agreement with him, and you won't either. He said, Lord, have mercy on me. Verse 15 says, oh, my son, have mercy on my son, for he is lunatic. In other words, he's got mental problems. I mean, this guy's messed up, my son. And he's sore vexed, for oftentimes he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. Now, when he says he falleth into the fire, the boy himself, in and of his own abilities, you know, nobody in their right mind would jump into a fire. And nobody would just throw themselves in the water. So you could see this demon had taken control of his physical body, and it was throwing him in the fire, and it was throwing him in the water. And he brought him to the disciples. Verse 16, I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. In other words, he come to get prayer. We're talking about prayer, right? He come to get prayer for his son, and they prayed for his son, but there was no help. Isn't that right? No help for his son. Verse 17. Then Jesus answered this man, and he answered the situation, and he's about to give a solution to the problem. He said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? He says, bring him hither to me. In other words, haven't you got it now? That's what he's saying. I've been teaching you. I've been showing you. I've been training you. You hadn't picked up on it yet, he's saying. I'm just paraphrasing. He said, bring him to me. In other words, I'll deal with him. I'm going to show you again. I'm going to demonstrate what to do. So now here is my and your personal demonstration from Jesus about how to deal with the devil. Anytime that there's a confrontation, anytime the devil confronts you, or you're praying for somebody that's got a devil, what do you do? Jesus chose us exactly. He's given a demonstration to the disciples. We're all disciples of Jesus, followers of Jesus. This is a demonstration. Verse 18. And Jesus did what? He rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. In other words, immediately, Jesus rebuked the devil. And now what does it mean by he rebuked the devil? He's the Son of God. He's Jesus Christ, so he don't have to use the name of Jesus. Isn't that right? So that what we would do, what we would call rebuking the devil, said, I bind you, you foul devil, in the name of Jesus, and I command you to come out of him now. Right? I bind you in the name of Jesus, and I command you to come out of him now. Thank you for getting excited about it. That's a demonstration from Jesus, right? So Jesus demonstrated what you do. He didn't hold a conversation with the devil. He didn't say, how you doing? Where'd you go eat at this morning? Where are you headed to? Who are you going to take a vacation at? Where do you want to go to? Isn't that right? He immediately took action. You can never take a passive position when it comes to dealing with demonic forces. Never. He took action immediately. He wasn't passive. He didn't just stand there and observe. He'd done something about it. What did he do? He exercised spiritual authority. And he's delegated to us to exercise spiritual authority. The devil's defeated, but remember, we enforce it. Isn't that right? Yeah. So here he is, and he bound that devil. He rebuked the devil. We would bind him or rebuke him in the name of Jesus and command him to come out. And it says here that when Jesus rebuked the devil, says he in verse 18, Jesus rebuked the devil, and what did he do? He departed out of him. In other words, there was no question as to whether the devil was going to obey Jesus or not. He immediately obeyed him. I said, he immediately obeyed him. And the devil's got to obey you. Now, can I just add something in right here from experience? Sometimes in dealing with demonic spirits, you might not get results just as fast as Jesus did, because believe it or not, we're not the Son of God. But that doesn't mean that we will not get results. Sometimes you have to continually stand and enforce and command that thing to come out, and don't quit. And he'll come out. You've heard Reverend Norval Hayes. Who remembers Brother Norval Hayes? Oh, Lord. You've heard of him dealing with devils for, you know, several hours. Remember that fella? He was casting that devil out that time, and the guy stood on one foot and stuck his tongue out about all night long. You remember that? Y'all don't remember? Where y'all been? Oh, you didn't go to Brother Norval Hayes' meetings. I know why. Because he was good for 3 hours at least. Brother Hagin said he had two gears, slow and slower. You goofy thing, you. Get me upright. I'm not talking to you. I'm just telling you that's the way he was. But he had some experiences at dealing with devils. Dr. Summerall had experiences dealing with devils. Pastor Tennyson Finch traveled with Brother Summerall, and Brother Summerall would sick him on the devils. You go get him, my God. Brother Summerall was a bold man. Was it Russia that he told his pilots to take back off because he was going to land to give them food? Yeah. In a C-130? They was going to land over there and the food, feed the hungry program. And he was telling me about this. And Brother Summerall was over there, and the government was going to take over the plane or something and get the food and not give it to the people. And Brother Summerall's on that plane. And he told the pilots, they were threatening to shoot them down. And he told the pilots, fly this thing out of here. Don't stop it. Fly it out of here. And so they had to do what the apostle said. They put the throttle to the firewall and took that load of food out of there. Woo! That's bold, brother. Because they got all kinds of missiles and rockets. Woo! Find some of Brother Summerall's stuff on casting out devils. Oh, Lord, we'll have to tie you down after a while. Woo-hoo-hoo! Because he was mightily used along that line. But Brother Norval Hayes, I was talking about him. He dealt with some spirits, 3 and 4 hours and 5 hours. And I have dealt with some spirits of probably an hour, hour and a half. But it wasn't just one spirit. It was somebody was possessed with a lot. Now, Jesus cast out a legion in just a few, just like that. But, I've discovered that I'm not Jesus, and I'm not trying to be. So it may take me a little longer, but still I can stand my ground. Isn't that right? And so we looked at Jesus' formula here. If you want a formula or a guideline for dealing with the devil, what you do is you never take a passive position. When you understand that the devil is there, when you know that you have encountered him, immediately you rebuke, you bind that devil in the name of Jesus, you command him to go in the name of Jesus. You tell him what you want him to do. That's what Jesus did. When Jesus spoke, the devil came out of him right then. That's exactly what happened. But again, and I said this, it's according to what kind of devils you're dealing with and how many's in somebody, because people can, you're only possessed by one spirit, Brother Hagin has taught us. And then, of course, you got other spirits that can tag around in a person's life. I have cast up to 14 demons out of people. 14. In fact, I used to have a notebook, that I would keep the demons' names in. Until the Lord got on me about it. I didn't know any better. I was just in prison casting out a lot of these devils. Seon, Sayar, Sagar, all these kind of devils. Because sometimes you have to know their name and dealing with them. But I'm not talking about just that kind of message. I'm talking about dealing with the devil in prayer. And so I would write their names down. And the reason I was doing it, just to see if I ever confronted them again. Seeing how much results that I got. Because the Bible says when the devil's come out of a man, he's an unclean spirit. He said he walked through dry places and he comes back and enters in. With 7 more worse than himself, And so I was always thinking, are they going to come back? Where are they at? What did they do? And I commanded them to go, But the Lord just got on me one day to get rid of that book and I finally threw it away. But I had a notebook full of demons' names. Isn't that a claim to fame? I believe it was innocent. I mean, I didn't know. It was just scientific research, I was just seeing if I run across this demon again, I'm praying for Pastor Dave and one says, hello, I don't know what kind it is. What's your name? I'm joking. That would be the pigs in the parlor days, you know. Everybody's got one, you know. But there's things that I have learned about how devils get into people. Especially sometimes you have to know how they got in there, you know. And people have to renounce that and repent of that and get it out of their life. Sometimes you have to, you know. I've got series on this, how to deal with devils, how to cast out devils, and that's not my message because we're talking about a prayer seminar. But sometimes you do have to know that. And it's my experience that and proving it out and listening to those that went before me, you know, and seeing their examples and practicing it. But I was running around with a notebook full of these things, you know. And thank God I finally got rid of them and I'm not hunting the devil. I remember one time I was casting the devil out and I know the devil's a liar. But I couldn't get a devil to come out. I mean, this one was just resisting. And every time I dealt with him, of course, you got a general rule that you rebuke him and command him to come out in the name of Jesus. But in this particular case, I was rebuking the devil and it wasn't going anywhere. I mean, it would just seem like it was getting stronger, taking more advantage of this individual, you know. And then I said, Lord, what do I do? He said, read the 23rd Psalm. I said, what? He said, read the 23rd Psalm to that demon. So I got my Bible because the Lord told me to. And I read the 23rd Psalm right out loud, right out of my little Bible I carried in my pocket. It had Old and New Testament fit in my convict shirt pocket because this is where a lot of this stuff happened. And I pulled it out, started reading the 23rd Psalm. And that demon started screaming, no, 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 he's not the shepherd. I was there when he was crucified on the cross. That's what this demon said. Now, was he there or not? I don't know. But that's what he claimed, that he was there when Jesus was crucified on the cross. But you know what? When I got through reading that, I said, now come out! And that thing came out of him. Why did you have to read the 23rd Psalm? I don't know. One time, I couldn't get one to come out. And the Lord, I carried a bottle of anointing oil in my pocket all the time because it said in James chapter 5, anoint them with oil, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. So I had a bottle of a little anointing oil with a cork stopper in it. And I got it through the chaplain, you know, and I had permission to carry it because they called me preacher. I was a convict pastor. And, you know, I'd just go through the prison. Somebody need prayer, I'd anoint them with oil. But I had this anointing oil in my pocket. I hadn't even thought about it. I couldn't get this demon to come out. And it just constantly giving us problems and harassing, you know, this individual. And I'm commanded to come out. Had some that came out, because this person had more than one. What I'm saying is, they're only possessed by one spirit, but other spirits tag around in that person's life. And so the Lord said, take your anointing oil, put some on your finger and touch him with it. And commanded to come out. I thought, oh my God. You pray for people to be healed, you know, and on it. But, you know, I didn't know what to do. Nothing else was working. So I was examining to make sure, is this the Holy Ghost? Is this me? Well, I was thinking, well, it ain't me because I never even thought about taking anointing oil and touching no person with it. So I took that anointing oil and I took the cork off and I put a dab on my finger, you know, a little dab of doogie. Remember that? Yeah. A little dab of doogie. And I just reached up. And I touched that individual that was demon-possessed on the forehead. When I did, that demon screamed, it burns! It burns! I can't even say it the way he said it. And I said, oh my Lord. I said, I command you to come out! And the thing went out. But that was the only time the Lord ever told me to take an anointing oil and put it on somebody. Now, I've done it myself sometimes after that. But that was the time the Lord told me to do it. Because I learned that them demons don't like anointing oil. Now, if I told you that, you'd think I'm crazy. Would you think I'm crazy? Wait a minute. You think, well, he's off the deep end. Lord, help me. My wife said, yes. Yes, thank God for good wives, you know. Out at the airport, there's a little office in our present hangar. You know, we're building another facility, hangar and offices and all. But I've got a little office there, and I got my Bibles and study books there. A lot of times I'm there. I'll study and pray. But also, I keep a bottle of anointing oil there. and I'll take that anointing oil and I'll anoint myself with that oil, because I know the devil don't like it. And I will get me a little WD-40, brother. I'm on. But I do. I anoint myself, you know. And I mean, I've never told it. Nobody knows it. I anoint myself. And I pray for myself. And I say, I am a child of God. And the devil has no right over me. I dedicate. This represents this oil. It don't do anything but represent the Holy Ghost. I represent by anointing myself with this oil. And sometimes I get me a gob of it. If a little dab will do you, a whole lot does better. And I'm not saying you got to do this, because I mean, you can get goofy with stuff, you know what I mean. And that don't mean I do it every single day, but it seems like when I need an extra kick, a little help, I'll give me some, and I say, I am a child of God. You know, I'm submitted to the Holy Ghost. This all just, I represent, I'm submitting, I'm under the authority of the Lord. I present myself to the Lord. I declare I'm healed. From the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. I declare that I walk in total dominion over every evil spirit. I never thought about praying for myself. Well, you pray for everybody else, don't you? Said, you got any examples? The only example I really know of is Dad Hagin was a dying. Remember laying on the bed? And he told him, lay hands on yourself. Isn't that right? Because the anointing's in your hands. Isn't that right? Now, I'm not starting a doctrine. I know now. I know. Yeah. The book's going to come out, anointing yourself to stop the devil. We're going to... That's how the denominations get started. But I learned. I went way back in prison. I learned, you know, the anointing all means something in the spirit. It may not mean nothing to us. In fact, we've kind of lost it in that era. I'm not saying everybody, but we've kind of laid that to the side. And we usually don't do that no more. We need to get Brother Shambach back. He get doggone rag. When he got through, you didn't even need a shower. You was baptized in that stuff. But the Bible says anoint him with oil. So I know that in the spiritual realm, that oil means something. You know what I mean? We may not understand it all. And I'm not telling you to do that, you know, at all. I'm not saying that. But I've never even told that. My wife never even heard that. Nobody's ever heard it. But I have done it, and I'm going to do it in the future. If I need an extra boost, if I need a God vitamin, I'm going to take me one. I can tell you that right now. And all I'm doing is I'm declaring myself under the authority of God and not under the authority of the devil. I'm submitted to the Holy Ghost. I'm leading, yielding to God, and I'm not going to yield to the devil. Amen. Woo! Thank God for the anointing oil. So you see, the example Jesus had is you never take a passive position. He rebuked the devil. Immediately, that's what he done. When he confronted the devil, he rebuked him. And then and the child was cured from that very. In other words, the demon came out of him. How do you know? Verse 18, and he departed out of him. So there was a devil in him that was causing this boy to be thrown into the fire, thrown into the water. It wasn't the boy in and of himself trying to kill himself. It was a devil doing it. And you know, and let me just say this. These people that commit murder, suicide, you remember, you know how they go and kill people, then they kill himself? Usually, not every time, but usually it is a spirit of murder that has possessed them and they opened themselves up to them, and it was to kill everything, even the human being it's in. Yes, spirits of murder. I dealt with these things in prison. There was a lot of people in prison, you know, for first-degree murder, horrendous murder. Oh, Ted McGinnis, turned out to be one of my best friends. He got gloriously saved. Him and another fella, you know, abused a girl, and I'm not going into all that. Then they chopped her body to pieces with an axe, trying to hide it, and got caught. But that's murder, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, that's violent murder that nobody in their right mind would do. And you know, and we had to deal with Ted and deal with the devils, but that guy got set free. He got out of prison eventually, got off the death row, got Laugh It Out Pro, got his sentence commuted, and then eventually got out and became a preacher. It's amazing. But the devil will cause you to do things you never would dream that you would do. But you've got to yield to him. You've got to open your life up to him. That's what you've got to do. So as long as you keep the door closed to the devil, said, how do you keep the door closed to the devil? I knew you was going to ask that. Can I read something to you? Can I read something that Dad Hagin said? That's what the Lord was sparking me about here. And I believe in visions. He said, he talked about America's last call. It's under that caption, but I'm not going to read it all because that's not my message. He says, America's last call, the time of the end of all things is at hand. And then Jesus also said, this was the last great revival. That's what he said. This is September 2nd, 1950. This is in the book, I Believe in Visions, and it's underneath the chapter. I believe it's chapter 2, Come Up Hither. Anyway, because I'm just breaking in part of the chapter. But it's under the caption, America's Last Call. He said, this is the last great revival. And he was talking to Brother Hagin, September 2nd, 1950. Jesus went on to say, and this is a direct quote in Brother Hagin's book, he said, all the gifts of the Spirit will be in operation in the church in these last days. And the church will do greater things than even the early church did. It will have greater power, signs, and wonders than were recorded in the Acts of the Apostles. Why do we pray for these things? Because it's the Lord's will for them to come to pass. You don't have to wonder if it is. So it's okay to pray for these things because Jesus said so. He said, this is going on, he said that we have seen and experienced many healings, but we will now behold amazing miracles that have not been seen before. Jesus continued, more and more miracles will be performed in the last days, which are just ahead. For it is the time for the gift of the working of miracles to be more in prominence. We now have entered into the era of the miraculous. Now, if it's God's will for the gift of working of miracles to be more in prominence, it's okay if we pray for that. Ask God for these things. Ask Him for these miracles to be poured out. We have not because we ask not. But it's okay to ask. This is what Jesus told Brother Hagin. And this is what the paragraph I wanted to get to I'm going to read next. He said, many of my own people does not mean people that are in the world that have never been born again. These are people that have been born again, filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm not saying everyone is filled with the Holy Ghost, and they're supposed to know God. Isn't that right? When he calls them my own people, they should be acquainted with Jesus. They should be born again to be his own people. Me and my own people will not accept the moving of my spirit and will turn back and will not be ready to meet me at my coming. That kind of goes along with Dad Goodwin's message. Oh, you're going to write a new book now. Okay. But he said, many of my own people will not accept the moving of my spirit and will turn back. You know, the Lord doesn't turn His back on us. We turn our back on Him. He's always standing, looking for us to obey Him and yield to Him and the Holy Ghost. But we can turn our back on Him and walk away. And that's what He said here. He said, many of my own people, His own people, will not accept the moving of my spirit. And have we not witnessed that? In the last seasons, or last years, says, we'll turn back and not be ready to meet me at my coming. And then I wanted to get to how did we keep these evil spirits and all that stuff from, you know, entering into our life. Jesus gave us, in this quote, direct quote from Him in Dad Hagin's book, He said, many will be deceived by false prophets and miracles of satanic origin. Now, he's still addressing the church here. Many will be deceived. And I've got a book or magazine called Satanic Lying Signs and Wonders. If you want to know about these things and how they work, do you know when that was, Chris, in the archives? 2009, September, somewhere. But if you go to our website archive and look it up, and you have to go through there, they're archived, And there's a magazine. We used to print larger magazines till the Postal Service changed the way they done certain things. And it's just makes it less expensive to do what we're doing today as far as printing our newsletters. But I printed a whole magazine about satanic lying signs and wonders. Can the devil work miracles? That's the question I ask. Yes, the devil can work miracles. When Moses and Aaron threw down their rod before Pharaoh and it turned into a snake, the devil worshipers threw down their rod and it became a snake too. What was the difference? They done it by the power of God, Moses and Aaron, and the devil worshipers done it by the power of Satan. And they matched Moses and Aaron miracle for miracle to a point. And finally, the demon worshipers came to Pharaoh and said, "You better let this man alone right here. This is a mighty power of God." Isn't that right? The devil always works miracles to deceive. God works miracles to deliver. And there is a difference. There is a difference. The devil works miracles to deceive. God works miracles to deliver people. So you can see things. You can tell the difference. That's a way to judge it, I'm telling you. That's a way to judge it. And you know, the satanic lying signs and wonders, the gold dust phenomenon and all that. You remember that? The Lord told me that stood at the forefront, the ones that stood at the forefront. It was a lady and a man that stood at the forefront of that ministry that introduced it to the body of Christ, and people went after it. The Lord said they will be removed from the scene. That was on a Friday morning. The following Friday morning, the lady died. The following Friday morning, a week later, we would say, died. And then months later, less than a year, the man died. And the Lord told me they'd be removed from the scene. Now, that doesn't mean that God killed them. God had to remove His protection and mercy from them, and the one that they was yielding to took them out. The devil hates everybody. But it was satanic lying signs and wonders. Yes, there was miraculous things took place, but it was there to deceive people. And it did deceive a lot of people. A lot of people were deceived. But he said, many will be deceived by false prophets and miracles of satanic origin. And by the way, let me stop and say this. In that magazine, Satanic Lying Signs and Wonders, around 2009, September, October, somewhere? July 2008. Chris looked it up. Thank you, Chris. July 2008. Go to our archive and read that magazine because we went in depth. In fact, we printed every miracle that God ever worked in the Bible. And there's a lot of them. I believe how many pages did it take us? About 2 pages, Chris? About 2 pages to list. I mean, just in small print, one right after the other. We listed every miracle in the Bible. Listen, you don't have to make up any. Just get the ones that's already in the Bible. I mean, there's a lot of them in the Bible that we're not seeing today. But there's a lot of miracles. But there are miracles of satanic origin too. He said many, and this is what I want to get to, but you keep pulling me off. Remember, we're coming back though. Many will be deceived by false prophets and miracles of satanic origin. But, this is what I want to get to. But follow the Word of God, the Spirit of God, and me, and you will not be deceived. Amen. I'm gathering my own together and am preparing them, for the time is short. So what are the ingredients to not be deceived or not open your life up to the devil? Number one, carefully follow the Word of God. Two, never disobey the Spirit of God. Always follow Him. And then three, always keep your eyes on Jesus. Follow the Word of God, the Spirit of God, Jesus said, and me. Notice He put the Word above everything else. The Word. Because it's easy to have a concept about what Jesus thinks about something and come up with your own idea, but if it's not in the Bible, it's not God's idea. That's why the foundation must be on the Word. Isn't that right? The foundation must be in the Word. So stay in the Word. Stay in the Bible. He said, follow the Word of God, the Spirit of God, and me, and you will not be deceived. In other words, what Jesus is saying there, and I believe you can see it for yourself. I'm not trying to put my own interpretation on it. You can see it for yourself. Jesus said, if you do this, you won't open your life up to the devil. He'll have no place in you. In fact, you can say, just like Jesus said, the devil has no place in me. That's what He said. There was no avenue that He had into Jesus' life. Nothing that He could take advantage of in Jesus' life. And you can do the same thing. Isn't that right? So when you're dealing with the powers of darkness, Let's go on to Matthew chapter 17, but notice that we don't have to go around in fear. You can go around in faith. Walk in the light of the Word of God. Do what the Bible says. Now, if you get disobedient to the Word, you know, and get out there, and I'm not saying just because you make a mistake or two, or maybe even several mistakes, not even 20 mistakes. I don't know where the line is, you know. But if you continually, over and over, you know, just violate God's Word and don't obey it, eventually, somewhere, you're going to open your life up to the devil. And he's going to come in and he's going to play high carnival and he's going to have you doing things you never dreamed you'd do. You know, people start hearing voices. And they said, it told me to kill him. I've heard people, you know, I've heard, because it breaks your heart. I heard that a mother, I didn't hear her say it. I heard the news people say it on back into years ago, that a mama actually drowned her own baby in a bathtub because she heard a voice tell her to do it. There's something wrong with you when you do that. You know what I mean? She heard a voice, though. People hear voices all the time. Just because you hear a voice, if it ain't God's voice, don't listen to it. How do you know God's voice? You got to know His Word. He's always going to speak in line with the principles of His Word. Let's get back to Matthew 17. I'm trying to close. I'm trying to get this thing landed. I got my flaps down. I pulled the throttle back. I got my flaps down. Because this aircraft we got now, you need to land with flaps because it's got such a sleek, fast wing. You could land it without it, but you're going to be fast, you know, doing it. But it's got a sleek, fast wing, so you need to drop in at least 50%, if possible, 100% flaps, according to how Oklahoma wind is doing, and pull your throttle back. And you know, when you get in the pattern, you want, on approach, you want to be 120 knots. You know that. I'm giving you a lesson this morning. I might charge you for it, too. You want to be 120 knots on approach, and then when you turn final, you want to make sure you start pulling back to 100 knots, and then you want to get back to 90 knots on final approach when you're just a little ways out, and then you want to cross the threshold of the runway as you're about to touch down about 80 knots, if you got it. And you got full flaps in, and then right about the time you're setting down, you want to pull that throttle out real easy and let that thing crash. Boom! Every landing, what you're doing is you're just losing lift on the airplane. In other words, it quits flying. It's best to quit flying at the right point. Yeah. Quit flying at the right point, because there are times you have quit flying too high and that hurts, you know. So I'm trying to land this thing, and here we go. Jesus rebuked the devil. Then verse 19, and this is what you was asking about, how we got here. We're talking about dealing with the devil in prayer. Because here, the man brought their son for him to pray for him. Isn't that right? They didn't get results, so Jesus gave them an example and showed them exactly what to do. He told them, this is what to do right here. He gave them an example. He rebuked the devil. You never take a passive position when it comes to dealing with Satan. You always take action in the name of Jesus. Verse 19, then came the disciples of Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? What are they saying? Why didn't we get the same results that you got? What do you know, or what did you do that we haven't done or we don't know? So Jesus answered them. Verse 20, and Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Notice here how faith is involved in dealing with the devil. In other words, you've got to believe that you've got authority over him. Just like you believe you receive your car, just like you believe you receive your money, just like you believe you see your church grow, just like you believe you see your children prosperous and healthy, you got to believe that you got authority over the devil. And the devil undoubtedly challenged them, and instead of challenging the devil back, they let him win. So saying, you lying devil, like that devil told me, the first devil I cast out, you know, there in prison, when the lights went out and everything. I commanded that thing to come out, and this thing rose up in that man, and it started growling like an rrr! And it said this, this demon, this gruff voice come out of this man that wasn't his voice. He said, I am a controlling demon over this prison. He said, you don't have the power and the authority to cast me out. He said, you'll have to come back when you get the authority. And I thought, oh my God, what have I got into now? And I went for it. I'm not going to lie, I went for it. But thank God for the Holy Ghost. I was going to tell Dixon and Charlie, they're two of my church members, you know. I was going to tell them, let's get out of here, Jack. We'll come back when we get that power he's talking about. Because it was scary. The devil confronted me. I mean, he come at me because I came at him, see. I commanded him to come out. He came back at me. No doubt, now don't say it here, but no doubt the disciples had some kind of opposition from this devil. I don't know what he told them or nothing, but anyway, they gave up. Said, my God, just let's leave him alone. We don't have authority over him. That's what the devil wants you to do. And I did. I thought, my Lord, what am I going to do? But thank God for the Holy Ghost. Amen. Just right up my spirit. This floated right up into me so strong. And this is what the Lord said. He said, that's a lying devil. The devil's a liar. And it became revelation. He is a liar. He's a liar. I do have authority. Come out of him. And he came out. I said he came out. See, because of your unbelief. The devil's going to challenge your faith. He's going to see if you believe what you're talking about. Isn't that right? So he'll try to make you think that you don't got the authority, all kind of stuff, you know. But you do. I went for it because I didn't know any better. Verse 21. Jesus said, howbeit, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. Now, if you look at this in different ways, people will say, well, if you're going to cast out that kind of devil, then you got to pray and fast. But this is what the Lord, I think, revealed to me about that one time, is that if you're going to get this kind of results in dealing with any devil, you need to be in a position that you understand and exercise your faith that you got authority. But also, you need to deal with yourself. Fasting doesn't change God. Praying doesn't change God. So what's he saying? He said, deal with yourself. If you got any issues, just handle them. Because the devil will challenge you. You know, these familiar spirits know things. And they'll try to use things against you. They know things about us. They know things about me. But just walk in authority. So what Jesus is simply saying is, just deal with yourself. And you're going to get this kind of results all the time. How do you deal with yourself? Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You won't. That's what the Bible says. Walk in the Spirit. So if you walk in the Spirit, it don't mean you got to fast 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. However, fasting will not hurt you. That's kind of a lost art today. Now, if you're getting to want to lose weight, Christopher back there wants to introduce you to Jack. Jackhammer. He had out there at the hangar, him and Brother Bill. I waved at Jack. I did. I waved at him. But I had me an excuse, and I hung on to it. When you get a good excuse, you hang on to it. I had fractured my ribs right in here. You know what I mean? Trying some acrobatic stuff, you know, off of a trailer out there. I stepped and the step was not there. You know, but anyway, I used that as my excuse. And I didn't want that thing. You know what I mean? But I encouraged them. You look good, boys. You're doing good, boys. You know, everybody needs an encourager. But when you're dealing with the powers of darkness, like again, let's close this thing down. When you're in prayer and you confront something, something comes up against you and you realize that this is demonic, just deal with it and go on. We don't talk to the devil. We don't have a conversation with the devil. We command him to get out of our way. Anytime. And I have had experiences. In fact, I could stand here probably another 2 or 3 hours and just tell you experiences I've had just praying. I wasn't praying to see a devil. I didn't even think nothing about a devil. Then all of a sudden, God will reveal something to me. You know, for instance, about the time I was in the Supreme Court. Remember that vision I had? And I'm standing there, and all of a sudden, I see this devil sitting in the Supreme Court. And I command it to come down. But I wasn't praying to see a devil. I was just praying about God moving in her land and in her country. And the Lord told me to tell that thing to come down, and it did. It come down and run out of the Supreme Court. Then the Lord said that two people will leave the Supreme Court. One will be a woman, and one would be a woman, and one would be a man. And it happened the very next day. Senator Day O'Connor retired. Why? I don't know, but that's what the Lord showed me. Then later on, the man died in the Supreme Court. But ladies and gentlemen, we got authority over the powers of darkness. You do not have to be afraid of them by any means, by any way whatsoever at all. Why don't you stand to your feet?